Breaking news.
And this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm your host, Marcus Ogden. Today's episode was joined by Ryan Nadell. But before bringing up Ryan to the stage, I want to thank one of our amazing sponsors, Learn It, owned by Mr. Damon Lemby. They do sales, leadership, and managerial training for small, medium, and large corporate companies all across the U.S. Now, here he is, Ryan. How you doing today, Ryan?
I'm great, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, my friend. Ryan, first question. What does the word authentic / authenticity mean to Ryan?
Marcus, that's such a good question. So what it means to me is just being yourself, being that unfiltered version of who you know you should be from a soul's level, right? Not in your head. I think that our head leads us down this entire different path of wanting to fit in the right crowd, say the right thing in the right place at the right time. When you lead from that heart-centered place, that divinity, if you will, I think that's authentic to me. It's just being who you are in the way it feels appropriate.
You know, Ryan, I really like you saying be who you are at your soul, because a lot of times your head will try to fit in with the crowd, the cool people, social media, all about I have this, I have that, and you sometimes lose who you are at your soul, at your core. What do you think it is, Ryan, that makes people want to lead or be with their head and not be from who they are at their core, at their soul?
Yeah, I can certainly speak for how it used to be for me, Marcus. It was a thing of a truly level of insecurity that I was afraid to face. It was saying, you know, gosh, if I'm not accepted by this group or I don't present myself in this certain way and people don't understand me, then I'm less than, I'm not good enough, I'm ostracized, versus saying, look, if I'm just myself, the people that are drawn to me, that enjoy my conversations, those are my tribe, right? I've heard it called your soul's tribe. I've heard it called all types of different things. And so for me, it was working through, right? We all have it, but a level of childhood trauma for me. It was things of, and whether the story was real or not, right, Marcus, it was at least real to me. Of saying like, I'm not good enough, I'm not qualified enough, I'm not, versus no, I'm in this consistent state of maturation, right? I'm always trying to get a little bit better, trying to get a little more intelligent, trying to show myself a little more care and more compassion. And so that state of evolution never stops. So I can just love myself for who I am right now in this moment, knowing that if I'm doing my job the right way, I'll probably be different 6 weeks from now. That's okay too.
You know, I love that, Ryan, because it's all about maturing and understanding that I believe authenticity is knowing who you are at that moment and not trying to be someone that you know you're not, or even better, trying to be somebody that you used to be. Like, I'm not a football player anymore. I don't need to try to be that guy, because that's not authentic. Like, I'm a speaker, I'm a coach, I'm a consultant, I'm a podcaster. Football, loved it, but it's in my past. So I think that's a really true statement. Mature and understand who you are at that moment. So Ryan, what do you have going on today? Tell us a bit about your story, who you are, a little bit about you trying to fit in with people, touch on that, and what you're doing today in the corporate space.
Yeah, so my story, I'm a Midwest guy, right? Grew up in a small suburb of Columbus, Ohio. If you've seen the movie Shawshank Redemption, a little town called Mansfield. That prison is in Mansfield, Ohio. That's where I grew up. And I just grew up middle class. And right, that was a lifestyle that I knew. And I think that's a great positive, but also simultaneously, I use that as a little bit of a negative too, because I went to a university that was not middle class. It was upper class, right? For college, Miami of Ohio. And I remember showing up on campus and like almost every person in my mind was driving a new BMW, a new Lexus, a new whatever. And I'm working at AutoZone to put myself through college, right? But all of a sudden I'm not fitting in. I don't have the money. I don't have mom and dad's credit card. And not that's a good thing or bad thing. I just didn't have it. And so that really started into that of like, gosh, am I good enough? Do I deserve to be here? I don't really fit in. What's going on with that? Eventually, post college, got into, of all things, automotive field, right? Sold cars. Although mechanical engineering was my field of study, I still just love sales, love interacting with people, and very quickly took over a dealership, moved from Mansfield down in Columbus, Ohio, started running a Mercedes-Benz store. And then mid-20s, took that big entrepreneurial leap and started, came on board to a startup web hosting company, right? So I was a salesperson, affiliate manager. And that was that worked out really well for me, where came on board, we had 10,000 clients. About 20 months later, I had taken over as president and CEO. We had almost 600,000 clients. We ended up packaging up that company and sold it to a subsidiary of GoDaddy. And it gave me that entrepreneurial taste. But at 29, Marcus, now all of a sudden my ego had swung the entire opposite way, right? It was, I didn't know anything. I didn't fit anywhere. And now you couldn't tell me anything if you tried. Like, I was not willing to listen to somebody at 29 with an exit under my belt. And so I got humbled pretty quick. I started my own business at after selling that first one, and it was processing credit cards, you know, high risk processing, merchant processing online, miscalculated ratios, thought I knew everything, tried to take it on solo. And by halfway through my 30th year on the planet, I was flat broke. All the money from the exit gone, rental properties in foreclosure, car had been repossessed. I don't mean a little broke. I mean, like, going from flying private all the time, anything I want, anytime I want to, I don't have a car anymore. And that's an 18, maybe 20 month period. And even then all of a sudden it re-triggered those old stories of not being good enough, where I didn't own the fact that really happened. So I didn't want anybody to know I had failed. So I, you know, created all these stories and lies and manipulations around, oh, well, you know, I'm going to start selling custom clothing because I want to learn a new craft. So I learned haberdashery, right? I learned how to measure. I learned about wool. I learned all these things. And it was great because I call it hand-to-hand combat, right? I could, if I had a tape measure and a book of fabric, I could go out and make money. I could figure it out somewhere and realize, well, that's good. That wasn't very scalable. So I got a hold of some of my old developers from the web hosting company, developed an app to shorten down the cash conversion cycle where I could measure you, put things into this app. It would automatically go to production. We could guarantee the tolerances were in line. And I took it to, at that point, my boss, the owner of the company, and said, look, I designed this thing. I think we should use it. It's like, man, we'll never use that. Doesn't make any sense. That's not this industry. We don't need that. Great. Okay. So I ended up stepping out on my own, starting my own business. I'll say version 2.0. Ended up working pretty well. Ended up taking that app and doing an equity swap with a wool manufacturer in England. So he took over the app. I took a small piece of equity in this business, built out a sales staff, and then sold that to my head of sales. That would have been, gosh, probably 2016. Jumped into, of all things, CBD, when CBD was not what everybody knew. My parents thought I was a drug dealer all of a sudden. The people in my life thought I was selling pot. Right? So, I'm like, you're going to go to prison. Didn't go to prison. Wasn't selling pot, right? Just CBD online. Grew that and sold that to a private equity group late in 2018. Then said, man, I don't know what's next. I'm not independently wealthy. I can't retire forever, but I can take a deep breath for a while, and started consulting. And consulting led to, gosh, I don't know, helping 12 or 14 companies exit, kind of that small market business side of things, where I was literally just sharing, here's all the stuff I would have done differently, which caused me to start studying what I should have done. That eventually led to fractional ownership in a handful of companies, which led to starting a private equity fund. And now I've got a fractional ownership in more than a handful of businesses. I sit as a CEO of a company called Mit45, which is kind of my crown jewel accomplishment so far. Came on as a consultant. We were about $1.6 million in revenue in 2018. I think if all things go the right way this year, we'll end up somewhere between 85 and 90 million in revenue. So it's great. And now my thing is being able to spend time with great individuals like yourself, just sharing, I'll call it the truth, right? The truth of what I didn't do the right way, what I wish I would have done differently. So maybe someone that's listening can grab a piece of what I'm saying. Even if they think I'm completely full of you know what, they can grab that and use that to propel them forward. I don't need you to believe me, as long as it creates some sort of thought process for you.
Well, you know, this is awesome because you talk about the failure in your business after you exited. You talk about, you know, how you had to humble yourself. You were making tons of money doing all this, flying private. Then you went not having a car. And then you went to, you know, your boss at the new job, had a great app. They said, I don't like that. You say, you know what? Got it. No problem. Stepped out on your own. Now you say you have sold to your head of sales. So you've always had that business mind, right? Which is awesome because now in private equity, you're able to get with different businesses that make sense, that need your help, that need, you know, strategy. And my next question is, where do you feel most businesses that come to you, right, Ryan, struggle? You know, I think a lot of times people think it's going to be a lot easier, and it's like, it's not what you think. I've been speaking now for 10 years. Podcasting is amazing, but it took time. I had to find the right team with Ben, Sonar, Multiformat, you know, Jayla and Paul, the right organization, the right setup. And it took time to get to where we're now top 1% in the world, almost at the top 0.5%. You know, we're grinding, we're pushing, all this stuff, but it took time. But the question I have for you, Ryan, is what do you feel most businesses have a misconception of when they come to you looking for help with your private equity group?
So I believe that the majority of businesses that at least have come to me so far, they've hit a self-imposed ceiling, right? Where their belief is they can't get past where they're at. And I look at things, I try to keep it really, really simple. Every business I've ever been a part of comes down to three specific things: your people, your processes, and your technology. And if you started a business and you grew it, you probably have a core group with you. You have people, and whether it's one person or three people, they're there, and you have a tech stack and you have these different things. And those serve you to a certain point. But then you can see, as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, you see this bigger vision in the future, but there's an incongruency because the people, the process, and technology that got you here aren't equipped to get you there. And if you're not willing to then humble yourself a little bit, raise your hand and say, I need help. Not even from a consultant, right? It doesn't have to be a coach, consultant, or mentor, or someone that has your best interests in mind to say, man, I'm stuck at 2 million. I'm stuck at 50,000 downloads. I'm stuck wherever. What have you done to get past there? And have that person be the person that has actually passed that, right? There's a lot of, I think, in the information age right now, there's a lot of people that say they know how to do a lot of things, but just because they've read it doesn't necessarily mean they've been through it all. It can mean it, but I think we need to be aware of, I don't say false idols, but a little bit of false idols, right? These people that, you know, just because they know how to buy media online and have a good presentation, like have they been in it before, right? You used to play football, right? I played high school football. You played in the NFL. Those are different things. It doesn't mean that I'm qualified to say that I understand what it's like to be in the NFL. Just because I'm a friend with a couple of guys that played in the league. It's different. I can't profess to say I know what it's like. But in this consulting and mentorship world, there's a lot of that out there. So I think the big thing to me is that false conception, it ends up being all based around the limits, right? I think the limits that we place on ourselves are the only thing that keeps us stuck, right? We set that bar of 5 million in revenue, and you get there, life is good, right? You might have a 20% margin. As a business owner, you're making seven figures. And you hit the ceiling, it's not real. And then to me, it's always looking, who are the people, what's the processes, and what's the technology supporting you? Because typically you just need one of those to jumpstart, right? That new piece of tech, maybe. AI right now is a great, great Kickstarter to say, holy cow, there's a whole different way to do things. Some of the team will be resistant to it. So you might have to replace some of the people, which is super uncomfortable, right? Again, these people that have been your friends, your family, maybe, that have gotten you here, especially in this mid-45 company I'm talking about, we're on our fourth iteration in 5 years of C-suite, because the business is growing 100% per year. Like every year, it's a functionally different business. And it's challenging for people to keep up.
So two things. Well, actually, the first question, I want to get into your new company. You were talking about your jewel. You went from 1.6 to, you know, I'm going to do about 85, 90 million this year. First question I have before we get to that, is you talk about false idols, people proclaiming to know everything about this or that. And I have a belief, if you haven't failed, then you really don't know what to look out for. So like me, like you, I failed miserably, like hit rock bottom, no money, no cars, you know, both cars repossessed same day, $400 to my name when I left Baltimore, moved to Raleigh, you know, home foreclosed on, you name it, chapter seven, $5.5 million of debt, and having to really get myself going in that direction to the next level. So I hit complete rock bottom when I moved here in 2013. So my question for you is, how important is it for you, for people that you're trying to advise and help, that they know you have both the educational smarts, but also the street smarts, because you've been in it, you've been there, you've made it, then you lost it, then you say, wow, I have to start over. You went to work, sold a company, you got yourself going back, but you have what we call the street cred to help others get to where they want to go.
I think it's paramount, but it's all going to go back to how we started our conversation today. It's based off authenticity, right? I'm at the point in my particular trajectory where if I have to convince you that I know what I'm talking about, if I have to convince you that I've got the street smarts, if that's where it's at, I don't align with it. I want those people that have listened to enough content or have picked up some of those breadcrumbs that realize, but I might have something for you. I might not. I can't profess to fix every business or help every business. I don't know. I don't know every business. I can't say that I can. I don't have some magic wand in my back pocket.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
What I do have is 39 years, or really now about 20 years, of business trials and tribulations, some successes and a lot of shortcomings. And that's what I'm sharing. And yeah, I read, right? I'm hungry for knowledge. I'm always testing against what I believe to be true. But reading, it just allows me the mechanism to then implement in my own businesses to then be able to share. I read this book. I tried this thing. It didn't work, or it did work. Where I think quite often as a mentor, the right type of person, they're just looking for the accelerant. Right. I'm not great at holding somebody's hand. I want to show them the door to walk through. I don't want to push them to walk through it. And so I like being able to share, oh, I read this book and this chapter. I can paraphrase it for you, but I also think you might want to look at it, especially if I'm consulting or coaching somebody, or if you know it's a private equity acquisition. I think part of our responsibility is to leave people better than we found them. And doing that requires us to open the door for their curiosity versus telling people what to do over and over again, which I think is a whole nother part of the conversation.
Gentlemen, that's such a true statement. If you tell somebody what to do, instead of telling them what they can do or how they could do it, the curiosity factor is not there. And if they're not curious in business, they're not willing to go out and try to have conversations, do things, trial and error, make mistakes. So I feel when you give people information, give them some, like I said, breadcrumbs, things like that, but don't hand in the kitchen sink. Say, hey, I learned this. Here's what I think you should try. If you think this will work for you, implement it. But again, I'm not going to give you what I call the Willy Wonka golden ticket, because at the end of the day, if you're going to be better in business, you have to learn from the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so now, Ryan, talk to us about your baby business, the one that you took from 1.6 to 85, 9 million this year. Like, what is it? What do you all do? And how do you, as the CEO, continue to keep the company up to date and innovative with that much fast-paced growth in such a short time?
Yeah, so it's interesting. As you share what my words originally were, I have to correct myself. I've just got to bear witness and be a part of this. I didn't do it all myself, right? And I think that's so much of it to me is the acknowledgement of when I first came around as a consultant in early 2019, it was an accidental entrepreneur's business. And an accidental entrepreneur is not a derogatory statement. You get a good idea. You've got a lot of hustle and grind. You get a little capital together and somebody goes and launches a business, right? You don't have maybe formal training in it. You don't have an MBA. You don't have a bunch of, you know, scabs on your knees. And so you go start this business and it grows. And what do you do to start with? You hire your friends and family because you at least know they're loyal. And so that works until a certain point, right? And in this particular business, it was, you know, between 2 and 5 million a year in revenue. And this business is a kratom business. Most people have no idea what kratom is. It's a leaf that's regional to Indonesia, to Thailand. You take a little bit of it, it's energy, it's focus, it's clarity. You take a lot of it, it's more relaxing. It's sold in gas stations and convenience stores all over the country. This isn't a plug, but it's such a counter. I didn't know anything about it, right? I wasn't passionate about this product. I'm passionate about business, right? I came in as a consultant. And in seeing that, the first thing that we decided to do as, again, consulting with the CEO and the CMO, we say, look, we probably just need to standardize some business processes, right? Nothing sexy, right? We don't need more revenue. We need to get better at what we're doing right now and see what happens first. And that was a great shot. That took us from 5 to about 13 or 14 million just by really implementing EOS, right? Entrepreneurial Operating System, Gino Wickman stuff, really simple, basic, just meeting cadences and setting goals and targets, nothing really the unsexy part of things. And you know, the next big jump was at 13 to about 30 million, which now it's talking about a whole different staff, right? The processes aren't getting us there. We need a staff that has a different level of professionalism that has been in that $50 million year business, because we go from 20 employees, where I think 12 or 13 were family and friends. Now we're at 50 employees and there's only 3 family and friends, which is challenging itself. And somewhere in that journey, the CEO said to me, I'm white knuckling this a little bit, right? I'm capable of running the company. I love my baby, but I think we need to find a CEO that's going to drive us further into the future. And so we started the CEO search kind of passively, and one thing led to another, and I was offered the position, right? Kind of a back and forth, up and down. And so took over the role of CEO. And as that transition happened, we just started looking at the professionalization of our sales process, right? We shortened the cash conversion cycle, right? So nothing more than making our cash more efficient. We've been able to grow this far, Marcus, without any sort of outside capital. So it's myself and my two partners, or it's all self-funded, which is, you know, unique for a company that grows this quick, I think, which is also delaying a lot of our personal, you know, endeavors, because you're having to plow money back into the company over and over again. So company is growing, and don't get me wrong, it's a great business, but in order to keep growing, you can't have sticky fingers. You got to put money back in so it can keep reinvesting and growing itself. Then we get in there and it was time to start looking at acquisitions. So we outkicked our manufacturing capacity. So we had to buy a couple of manufacturing businesses to manufacture our product. We had to buy a competitor or two to get more vertically integrated in the marketplace. And so what I'm doing is also hiring mentors, right, throughout this journey. I have a gentleman now that sits on our board of advisors that has been, you know, part of more than a handful of $500 million exits before, that he's given me his playbook. You know, he's perhaps, you know, mid-60s. He's given me the playbook from his 40s and 50s that helped him get these companies to this point. So I call it, I get to cheat. I get the unfair advantage. Like, well, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already spinning down the hill. I just have to hop on it. So that's something. A peer group has been incredibly important for me. So YPO is great, with just some other entrepreneurs that you can, you know, in a private setting, start to share, here's what I'm frustrated with. Here's what's not working. And then simultaneously studying that continuing education, whether it's the books that I refer to behind me, whether it's online courses, whether it's things like, you know, continuing education through Wharton or Harvard or some of the universities that post-COVID have started to make education more readily available. I think it becomes our responsibility as entrepreneurs, as CEOs, coaches, mentors, consultants, to consistently bolster up our skill set as well, right? I don't believe that what worked here is going to work for forever. Of course, there's some basics, right? There's accounting is a quote unquote basic. In theory, accounting is not going to change all that much. But I had to study and learn accounting, although I have a math and science mind. I didn't ever study accounting. So that was a whole season of life of just understanding everything I possibly could about how to be an accounting professional, understanding FP&A, understanding budget cycles, understanding, you know, liquidity ratios and the things that actually quote unquote matter in the world. And I think those are the unsexy things that just don't get spoken about that much in the social landscape. Everything's revenue, 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 revenue. Man, I know a lot of businesses that do a ton of revenue, but there's not much profit left, right? It's great to take that screenshot of what your bank account is right before you pay all your bills, then it's in the negative afterwards, right? Like it's, I guess it matters to some people.
You know, Ryan, this is awesome because it's all about understanding how business works. You know, our business, you know, we really run on tight margins. I understand what my expenses are. I understand what it looks like as far as income. I need to run, I need to operate. I keep money to the side. I'm really big right now on growing the podcast because right now, like I say, I mean, the he or she that controls the media and has an audience is going to do well. And Joe Rogan makes a ton of money. All these guys have followings and they're good at what they do and their shows are awesome and they really are good at it. And that's where we're really leaning in because to scale for our business, it's going to be in this area because that's where we love it. There's reach, there's potential, and that's what we enjoy doing, giving back to those through conversation. So Ryan, how can people get in touch with you if they want to know more information about you and what you're about?
Yeah, thank you. So just ryannidell.com, ryannidell.com. There or any social media platform, it's all the same, right? It's just Ryan Nidell. I just share what I'm up to. Share right the real stuff. There's not some big pitch. There's not some course. There's not some sort of, you know, bait and switch that sometimes happens. It's just, here's what's going on. Here's some resources I built. If I can help, I'd love to.
Ladies and gentlemen, reach out to Ryan, connect with him, gather thoughts off what he's putting out. He's going to drop, again, breadcrumbs of information. It's your job to read them, engage them, pick up one. If you have more questions, email, go to his website, reach out. Again, that's what I love hearing, like liquidity of your business, what's your cash position, what's your reserves. Revenue's nice, but if you have more expenses than revenue, what does it matter? You're in business just to make yourself feel good. As I say, revenues feed egos, profits feed families. Understand your business. Again, this episode was sponsored by Learn It. And the authentic tip, in business, know your business. If you don't know your business, your numbers, the books, accounting, expenses, all these things, your business will not ever reach full potential. So again, when you're in business, know your business. My name is Marcus Ogden, the host of the Get Authentic with Marcus Show. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Get Authentic with Marcus Ogden. Technical facilities and services have been provided by the Multiformat Network, multiformat.net.
Did you know that employees with caregiving responsibilities have significantly higher rates of unplanned time off from work, burnout, and over 30% ultimately quit their jobs due to the stress and fatigue of caring for their loved ones? When my father became ill from a rare condition, I could not find a caregiver to meet his specialized needs and provide thoughtful and empathetic care. The stress of this spilled over into my work life and quickly became unmanageable. That's why I created CareFluent, to provide compassionate and personalized caregiving services through a quick and easy-to-use platform. CareFluent can help reduce the stress on your employees. We uniquely combine our proprietary technology platform with a carefully vetted team of professional caregivers to deliver excellent service, which allows time for your employees to focus on their work. CareFluent services help to prevent stress, exhaustion, and burnout. Visit us online at mycarefluent.com to learn how CareFluent can help you retain a happy and healthy workforce using a benefit that is affordable yet highly valuable to your employees.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.